the sacrifice of praise into the house.
For allowing us to be in your presence and calling us to your service. Father, I thank you for those in word and song and deed this morning. And as we gather this morning, let us give you honor and praise and glory in everything we do. Father, if there's something that we have thought, said, or done that has displeased you, Lord, forgive us of our sin. Yes. That nothing would hinder us from coming to the throne this morning. Father, I pray that your word be proclaimed. I pray that hearts be open and receptive. And this morning, we give you all glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name, I pray we all said,
Amen. Amen.
Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring Him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of praise. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him. Steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, heavenly tongue, rejoice. One heart, one Christ, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Come those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night. Come those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For His perfect love will never change, and His mercies never cease. Follow us through all the days with the certain hope of Jesus. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. Young and old, from every land,
Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of him? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour?
John 6, verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Yeah. You can be seated.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Praise God. What a wonderful worship. What a wonderful worship. We have been studying the book of Revelation for a little bit of while. We're going to go ahead and take a short break. And I am not sure how short of a break, but God is going to guide us back into it. But it's going to be in His timing. Today, our focus is going to be in the book of Philippians. Unity is a vital component for a smooth function of any healthy organization, group, whatever. But it is especially important for a healthy church. Jesus recognized that keeping unity might be challenging for His followers. And He expressed this in John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. And He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me, and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. That is a powerful prayer. And that is why we pray. The title of today's message is United in Who? We are going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Today's passage talks about the church's unity. Please open your Bibles and stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, of all of that was just said, what is the key point that we have to understand here? The key point that Paul is sharing with us is actually in verse 2. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This command, which concerns the unity of the church, is frequently emphasized throughout scriptures. Ephesians 4:3, Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Romans 15, 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be, underline this next part, like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Before we examine the full scope of unity in verse 2, Paul's other encouragement is related to unity also. We must first understand the foundation of what that means, of what being unified truly means. Look at verse 1. Paul is providing us with enough facts to remain united as children of God. Number one, he's combining four different sentences that all start with the word if. If there is any comfort in Christ. If any comfort of love, which is referring to God's love for us. If any fellowship of the Spirit is with the Spirit. And if any affection and mercy is present. Paul is encouraging us to come together through these four principles, and that our experience of them is solely in Christ. We were meant to be united in Him through His grace and the comfort that we find in knowing Jesus. The love of God that we have personally experienced should bring us closer together, not bring us apart. The love which prompted God to send Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for us, sinners, calls us to love one another more and more every day. Our love for each other should grow continuously. Being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who helps empower us, acts as our guarantee of salvation, calls us to come together as members of the strongest family in the entire world that this world has ever seen. Verse 1 is a core Trinitarian passage. It mentions all three members of the Godhead together. It mentions Christ. It mentions God the Father through His love. And the Spirit, their Holy Spirit. It also mentions the fellowship that we share with Him also. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." The unity that characterizes the Godhead should also characterize us as the embodied church. Remember Jesus' prayer for us in John chapter 17, verse 21, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. The fourth focus that Paul teaches us is based on our continual experience of God's love and mercy in our life. We always should be staying united in Christ. When we remember all that God has done for us throughout our entire life, throughout our entire existence as being a child of God, we will stay united. Why? For His sake, for His mission, and for His ministry. This isn't our ministry. This isn't our mission. It's His. What is the mission of the church, though? Because there's at times we get confused and we lose focus of that. We forget. The mission is to come alongside each other as equals. To share Christ with the lost people of this world, to serve as guides for those living in the darkness, to lead them into the light of Christ. That's our mission. Our mission is not to keep everything inside these walls for us. It's to expand it outside of the walls for them in the name of Jesus. Always remember, you were once one of them. How did you find Christ? Look at verses 3 and 5 of our text. Paul follows up on the unity command in verse 2 with three related commands about unity. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. When our motives are flawed and we adopt an attitude of superiority over other people, the unity of the church is at risk. We must be careful about our motives, such as selfish ambitions, vain pride. Sometimes a person will pursue a ministry position only to seek the spotlight, only because they crave other people's praises. They also desire the authority and the control that come with that position. But that is not what ministry work is about. The work of the ministry is about serving the Lord in His ministry. And that requires a humble heart. Our motives should always be used as our gifts and our abilities to help others, not to serve our selfish interests. Over the years, I have heard people confess to me that they struggle to serve in certain ways because they are on the wrong side of their selfish motivations. They're on the wrong side of their intentions. I have to admit, though, that impressed me when they did that. They were showing their maturity. And yes, they showed their selfishness too, but they showed their maturity because they understood it was their struggle. They recognized it and they confessed it. They were taking steps to maintain a positive attitude and motivation, but most importantly, they were turning to Christ. They were turning to the Holy Spirit for guidance, for removal, and for help. When we begin to think too highly of ourselves, though, we get into trouble. Our pride will allow us to crash and burn. And it often causes us to put other people down because of it. And the result is that we lift ourselves up, but it's at someone else's expense. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, underline this part, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Many people firmly do believe that individuals in certain positions deserve more or have a higher status than others. It doesn't. It's imperative. We must remain humbled. There's not a single human being on this earth, I don't care who you are, that is better than anyone else. We are all sinners. We are all failures. But do you know what makes us better? For us, not better than anyone else, but better in us, is that we're saved by grace, God's grace. And we don't deserve that. But because of that, we have a duty to fulfill. What is that duty? God's ministry. To share God's glory to a lost world. That is what we are called to do. When we are valuing each other and that being our goal in life, then we should also consider not only our own interests, but also the interests of others, which is what that passage also states. Verse number 4 is very strong. It emphasizes that taking care of ourselves and pursuing our interests is acceptable and good, which we generally do very well. We take care of ourselves pretty good. However, the key point of verse 4 is that, yes, take care of ourselves, but we need to prioritize the interest of other people above our own. That is the main focus. Verse 4 is urging us to be concerned, not just in thought, but also to actively take action for the interests of others above ourselves. Selfishness and self-concern is nothing new. This is not the first generation to be considered the me generation. I got proof of that. Let's listen to what Paul's got to say. Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. They were a me generation too. We must care more than just for ourselves. Christian unity depends on this. The personal welfare and well-being of each of us needs to be our top concern. We should focus on others and stop being so self-absorbed with our own problems, our own interests. Are they important? Absolutely, they are. But seek help. Bring others next to you to walk with you in those troubles. Don't carry that burden on your own. Seek guidance and help from God. Don't take it upon yourself to act negatively because of it. We need to become servants to each other. Doing that means that we have to also be investing in one another. What does this lead to? It results in acts of kindness, caring, expressions of love, intercessory prayers for each person, regular Christian fellowship, the desire and need to be with each other, and unity within the church will come natural. The third instruction that Paul is giving us, be united by striving to have the same mindset that was also in Christ Jesus. Look at verses 5 through 11. If we strive as we are commanded to adopt the attitude or the mindset of Jesus, then unity in the church will be easy to achieve. It'll come naturally. If we imitate Jesus's mindset, his attitude, we will promote church unity. Willing obedience to the Father means that we have the mind of Jesus. And then obedience to the Father will be our primary goal. And the result will always be unity. According to the Father's plan, Jesus left heaven and came to earth. In the scriptures, Jesus says, "I came to do the Father's will." And despite the personal cost to himself, Jesus willingly and joyfully obeyed God the Father in all things, ultimately to the point of dying on the cross for our salvation. Jesus' example of willing obedience to God the Father serves as a model for us. We need to surrender daily to doing God's will, obeying not out of fear of judgment, but because of our love for God. When obeying God in all things is our priority, unity in the church will grow. Look at verse 7. It speaks of Jesus taking the form of a servant. While here on earth, Jesus exemplified servanthood. As Jesus said, "I came to serve, not to be served." Jesus said this in Matthew 20, 26. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. When we choose to serve one another out of love, we will become like Christ, and unity will follow. Sacrifice and selfishness should be part of how we connect with one another. When we act this way sacrificially, unity becomes real. Jesus died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. He gave himself for us so that we might have life. And in fact, Jesus died the most humbled and shameful way to die. 1 John 3:16. But this we know, love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He did this so that everyone who trusts in him can receive forgiveness for their sins and have peace with God. We should follow Jesus' example of sacrifice and his sacrificial spirit. Just as he gave his life for us, we must be willing to give ours for each other. This will promote unity and love within the church. This way of life requires humility, though. When we decide to be humble, no task is too minor or below us. When we put aside any sense of our ego, then unity becomes essential. In becoming a man, Jesus humbled himself to the largest degree. The very idea of him who is God becoming a man shows that humility. Look at how he was born in a feeding trough. In his life as a man, Jesus humbled himself by serving others. He is worthy of our praise and worship at all times. And he was so humbled that he even washed the feet of his disciples. In his death, Jesus humbled himself by submitting himself to the worst form of execution, dying on the cross. Why is that the worst way to die? Look at Jewish custom. In Deuteronomy 21, everyone who is executed by hanging from a tree is cursed. That is very plain in Deuteronomy 21. That type of humility is what Christ lived and died for. When we embrace the humble attitude of Christ, unity will flourish in this church. Jesus never sought to elevate himself. He patiently waited for God the Father to do that for him. The scriptures here describe how God has highly exalted him and given him a name above all names. 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If we try to lift ourselves up, it causes shame and it tears down the church. We must wait for God to lift us up. True greatness and honor in God's kingdom comes through faithful service. There is no other way. If our goal is to bring glory to God instead of ourselves, then unity in the church will flourish. Our goal is to bring glory to God instead of glory to us. And if we're giving glory to God, then unity will flourish in the church. When we possess the mind of Christ, unity in the church will be undeniable because we will be servants of one another, willing to lay down our lives for each other. Humbly, sacrificing for each other's benefit. We will no longer be seeking our own glory, but we will then be trusting that God will lift us up and fully will be obedient to the Father's will. I've said this before many times, and I will continue to always say it. I will personally and gladly sacrifice my life to protect all of you. Those are not just words. I truly mean it. Some people may see that as me just being a perfect little Christian. No. It makes me a humbled servant of God. It also makes me a leader by example. I lead by example because Jesus led by example. In conclusion, today and in the future of this church, God's church, our focus has to remain on the unity of the entire body of Christ, not to pick and choose who is included in that body, but those who God has chosen to include in that body. Throughout the book of Philippians, the theme is joy in the Lord. That is the central theme of that book. In verse 2, Paul tells us that a united church will basically be the icing on the cake of his life, marking the fulfillment of his joy, meaning God's joy. Ask yourself this question, though. I mean, really crack open your heart and answer this. I am united in who? Are you united with a person of flesh, blood, and sin? Or are you united with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that. A united church truly brings joy. However, a divided church where people use their words as weapons against fellow members of God's family, chasing their own interests, getting easily offended, or holding on to resentment, doesn't bring any joy at all to anyone. The command of verse 2 to be united is based on the four if statements, following the three commands listed in verses 3 through 5 will promote unity. Doing nothing out of self-ambition or conceit, but instead acting with humility and considering others better than ourselves, that promotes unity. Looking out for each other's interests above our own also promotes unity and love within the church. We are commanded to do just this. Having the same attitude or mindset as Jesus promotes unity. When we do these things, the church will unify and glorify God the Father. How are you doing this morning? Are you in disagreement with a Christian brother or sister? Are you holding on to unforgiveness and resentment in your heart? Or have you decided to become hard to offend? Are you faithful in your service to God, to Jesus? Are you exemplifying as someone committed to Christ, committed to His mission that He has given us, a person who promotes unity of the entire body of Christ? How are you encouraging unity in Christ within the church? Are you maintaining and fostering unity in God's church? Because that is our duty. The first step begins with all of us and our attitudes. If you are here today and you are not living in the unity that God has commanded us to have, come forward, lay it at the foot of the cross. If you are here today and you haven't lived in harmony with other people, and the Holy Spirit is literally moving in your heart right now, moving in such a way that you feel an overwhelming power to change things, come forward Every single week, I invite everyone to come to God's altar. I don't do that to be able to talk to you. I'm going to let you have your time with God. I call you up here because every single person in this world will always have a reason to leave something at the cross. Humble yourselves today. Come to God in His house. Release the sins that's plaguing your heart. Guys, I say this every week, and maybe people think that it's just something that I just say. But I don't. I truly mean this. Each person in this church, in this community, has invaded my heart. I love you all, individually and as a group. God loves you, individually and as a group. And I truly do want you to have a blessed week.
1 John 5, verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Please stand and sing our last song.
Encamped along the hills, mighty Christian soldiers rise and press the battle where the wind shall never grow in size. Against the growing battles below, let all our strength be grown. Comes the world. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, there is victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the roads to see. With shouts of triumph draw. By faith they like the whirlwind breath swept on o'er every knee. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield.
Dear gracious Holy Father, we thank you for the words of wisdom today, Father. Help us to be unified in you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings of the day. And Lord, just help us to apply the words of wisdom for us today. Be with us and guide us through the rest of the week and the rest of the day, Father. And let us glorify you in everything we do and everything we say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey-de-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There, you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message, right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.